Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Christ born of Mary. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
No room for the Saviour at Bethlehem's inn, only a cattle shed. No room on this earth for the dear Son of God, nowhere to lay his head. Only a cross did they give to my Lord, only a borrowed tomb. Today he is seeking a home in your heart. Will you still say to him, no room? Can you imagine what it was like for Mary and Joseph to travel 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem? She was heavily pregnant, nearly 9 months pregnant, and it was a long, long journey. In those days, they didn't have the transport that we do. In those days, the pace of life was very slow, and there must have been a very big concern that weighed upon their minds. What would happen when they arrived in Bethlehem? Would the birth take place before? Where would they stay? We know what the scripture says, that when they came, they found that there was no room for them in the inn. What a dilemma for this young couple to be in. They were of the house of David. Both of their lineage, both Mary and Joseph, could be traced back to great King David. And a decree had gone out by Caesar Augustus that each one should be registered in his own home. A census should be taken. And so Joseph and Mary returned to Bethlehem in order to register. They must have been so tired and weary when they arrived. And then to receive that news, searching from one place to the next for a suitable place for them to stay and for Mary to have the child. To hear that news must have been awful for them. Terrible. What went through their minds? I'm sure they said, why on earth was a census made at this time? Why should we have no other option but to go? The Romans were hard men. There was a deadline had been given. And why should we have to turn up? And why should we have to complete the census? And then imagine the horror when they discovered they had to stay in a dirty place and put a child in a manger when it was born. No sterile conditions, no help. When we look at the situation often today, we think of the innkeeper, a wise, nice, kind man, indicating a lovely little stable. But the scripture doesn't tell us that. It doesn't even tell us that an innkeeper indicated a certain spot. Maybe they just had to find one of those cairns, one of those places where travellers would stay with their animals, a cave-like shelter in those days. And amongst the smells, amongst the animals, there the Saviour of the world was born. And when Prince George was born to William and Kate, the photographers were there a long while beforehand. They were prepared, they were waiting. They were the best physicians at hand, the best midwives. Conditions were totally sterile. The best was given. And then news went out, didn't it? Went into all the newspapers. It went on to so many television stations, not only in this country, but throughout the world. So many countries heard about the birth of Prince George. He was given the best. But the Son of God was born in filth and squalor. There was no fanfare. There were no trumpets. There was no palace. There was no grand announcement to the world. And he came to a poor young couple, so poor that when they offered an offering at the temple, presenting their little baby Jesus being circumcised on the eighth day, all they could give was a poor man's offering, two turtle doves or two pigeons. They couldn't offer a lamb. So why? Why did the Son of God come in this way? He came from the palaces of heaven. He came from the realms of glory. He came from a place of perfect harmony. He came from a divine realm. Why should he be laid in a manger, in filth and squalor? Well, I think we can say this. He came to fully identify with us. Identify with the filth of our sin, of our humanity. He came who will be one who is despised and rejected of men. And he came to fully identify with humanity in this sin-cursed world. Think of the Roman world in which the Lord Jesus was born. It was a place which wallowed in its shame. There were so many things that were accepted, that were totally unacceptable to us. Paedophilia was accepted in a certain form. Exploitation of slaves was accepted. The political situation wasn't the best for the Jews, and there was a power-crazy man, Herod, who would do all he could to hang on to his power. Do you remember when he heard the news? How he gave an edict that all the boys under the age of 2 should be slaughtered in Bethlehem and the surrounding region. What an evil despot he was. It was into this world that the Son of God came. And he came to be the friend of sinners. He came to poor people. He came to squalor. He came to filth because he was going to take upon himself the sin of humanity. He was born to die, to pay for our sins upon the cross. He came to identify with us. Now, is the world that different from the Roman world in which the Lord Jesus Christ was born? We think of Syria and the atrocities that are being committed by rebels, by the government, man's inhumanity to man. We think of awful things that take place upon our streets, the murder of Lee Rigby. We think of people like the pop star Mark Watkins, or that man Jimmy Savile that so many people applauded. And we think our world isn't so different to that Roman world. You know, Christ came into the world for sinners. There was no pomp and there was no ceremony. He came quietly, silently into this world to restore humans to him. For decades, Great Britain has said no room to the Lord Jesus Christ. For decades, Wales has been saying no to Jesus Christ. There was no room for him at the inn. And for many today, there's no room for Jesus Christ. But I wonder about you. This Christmas time, will there be room for Christ? Or is this Christmas only dazzle and tinsel and food and fun? Is this Christmas only excess? Is this Christmas only family? Is it no more than that? Or is Christmas really Christ to you? No room in the inn. No room for the Saviour at Bethlehem's inn. Only a cattle shed. No room on this earth for the dear Son of God. Nowhere to lay his head. Only a cross did they give to my Lord. Only a borrowed tomb. Today he is seeking a home in your heart. Will you still say to him, no room? Shall we sing together? Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20.
Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
The birth of Jesus Christ is an historical event. Luke was a doctor, but he was also a historian. And he recorded details of the life of Jesus Christ meticulously. He was a man who listened, studied, thought, but above all was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the scriptures. We're told that it was during the time of Augustus Caesar that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And history traces to 8 BC, a decree that Caesar made that there would be a census throughout Judea. Well, the Jews were quite rebellious people. They didn't like the Romans, and they didn't want them to occupy their territory. And so it probably took 2 to 4 years for that census to take place. And there was Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem. It was a historical event predicted in the scriptures. This week I was at a carol service of Brinterian School in Bridgend. And it's interesting how they traced the scriptures which pointed to the Saviour, the Messiah. They went right back to the dawn of time. And it was read, Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. A prediction that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will come and overcome the evil one. And then in that carol service, they read Genesis 22. And it was speaking about Isaac, the only son of Abraham, and how he was offered upon an altar to God. And the message was this, that from the seed of Abraham would come one, a Messiah for his people. 2,000 years ago, prophecies were given, even from the dawn of time, before those 2,000 years. And then in Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Jesus, amazing words are given in Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 11. For example, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she will give his name to be Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then Isaiah's contemporary, Micah, he says these words, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathite, though you are little among the thousands in Judah, out of you shall come one to be ruler in Israel." Prophecies about the exact birthplace of the Messiah, Bethlehem. Prophecies about Mary, a virgin. Prophecies fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine anybody today predicting events 700 years from now? Or can you imagine people 700 years ago from now in 1413, about the time of Christopher Columbus, predicting exact details of a specific person, a work that he was to do? There are many prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah fulfilled perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ. If anybody has a doubt about the veracity and the truth of the person of Jesus Christ, I would say read the Bible and see these amazing prophecies fulfilled in him. Now, the birth of Jesus was miraculous. The modern mind finds it hard to accept. Sadly, even bishops and archbishops have doubted the virgin birth. Why is that? Because of the pride of man. Because of his self-confidence. Because of his rationalization. Because man thinks he knows better. He discounts the supernatural. But with God, nothing is impossible. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the womb of Mary. The Holy Spirit gave a supernatural conception. It was all of God. Jesus couldn't have been born like you and I. We're all born in sin. We're all shapen in iniquity. We're all sons of Adam. Adam, our first parent, fell into sin, and we fell in him, and we've inherited his sinful nature. But Jesus wasn't part of that sin chain. Jesus was born of a virgin, an immaculate conception, a perfect conception. God became man. A tremendous mystery that we're never be able to understand. How God could be contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. But we worship and we glorify and we bless God, that God should ever come into our world and do this for us. And we've just been reading, haven't we, about the shepherds. Wasn't it staggering that the Lord Jesus, the message about him, should be revealed to these poor, humble Judean shepherds? Their job was a miserly job. Nobody wanted that job. There's some jobs today that people don't want to do, whether it's in a factory, whether it's a refuse collector. There's certain jobs you say, I'd never want to do that. Well, in those times, people just didn't want to be shepherds out on the hills at night. It was a despised profession. And yet the angel of the Lord appeared to them and told them that there was good news. They were not to be afraid. For that day in the city of David had been born a Saviour, was Christ the Lord. They were told that this was glad tidings of great joy. It wasn't just good news. It wasn't just glad tidings, but it was glad tidings of great joy. The Saviour had been born to them, but it was good news for all nations. They were the ones to hear this message. And then later, the wise men, the magi, the rich, the intelligent, the men who had wealth, who had power, who had position, these were to come and to worship the Saviour also. First the Jews, poor Jewish shepherds, and then the Gentiles from the east were to come. You see, the message was for all peoples. And the message is for Clantrisant today. What is this message? A message that a Saviour has been born. Why a Saviour? What do we need saving from? What's it all about? I wonder if the children just up there, if you just try not to run around, or if you want to go downstairs, if the little two little ones, just go downstairs at the moment. If you go down the stairs to the front, that'll be fine, and there'll be people there to look after you. That's great. You just go down the stairs there. That's lovely. It's not easy for little ones coming to a church they're not used to, but it's lovely to see them. That's great. So, a Saviour. Why do we need a Saviour? Why do we need firemen? We need firemen to rescue us when our house is on fire or when we're in danger. Why do we need lifeboatmen? When we're on the seas and when we're in danger, we need lifeboatmen. Why do we need a Saviour? We need a saviour because we're all sinners. Sin is our worst enemy. It's your worst enemy. The wages of sin brings death. Death is your last enemy. Death is what you fear the most underneath it all. Death is the experience you just don't want to go through. Death is very uncomfortable to think about. But Jesus came to save us from sin. He came to save us from death. And he came to save us from your final destiny. If you died without Christ, he came to save you from hell. And this was good news, because it was news that was to go out to the whole world. And so now we see that the gospel, this good news, has gone out to so many nations, and so many people have embraced this news. The Bible is the best-selling book in the world. And there are millions of Christians who've embraced this truth. But have you? Have you come to the Saviour? Think of those poor people in the Philippines after Typhoon Haiyan and the awful situation that they went through. Just imagine a Filipino and he's hanging on for dear life onto a tree and he's in the middle of those surging waters and then he hears a motorboat. Somebody's coming to rescue him. Well, we can say the Saviour has come into this world to rescue us from our sins. A Saviour has been born in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus was given that title, the Lord. That title, Jehovah, was given to the Almighty God over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. And then when you read in the New Testament, the most common title for Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, he was no ordinary person. He was fully man, but he was fully God. You see, only God can bear our sin. Only God can take our transgressions, our iniquity, our evil. The things we think, the things we say, the things we do that do not please God. Only God can wipe that away. And Jesus Christ bore it all upon himself on the cross. And the sign to the shepherds was this. They were to go in haste to Bethlehem, but to find him as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was a sign. For the wise men, it was a star, but for them, it was these bandage-like materials, swaddling clothes. That was a sign. The Saviour, who was God, was also humble and meek and mild and fitted for you and I, one who would understand us, one who was tender, one who was caring, one who would mix with people, one who was the friend of sinners. And those poor shepherds went. And they saw him. There was no halo. There was no radiant beams shining from his face. But they saw him with the eye of faith. And they knew he was a Saviour. And they went out telling everybody. What about you? Jewish shepherds went. Later, rich wise men went. Gentiles. But what about you? Have you been to Christ? Have you gone to him? Have you found life in him? The Bible says to as many as receive him, God gives them the right to be called the children of God. Not everybody's a child of God. Not everybody's a son of God. But those who come to him and those who receive him become children of God. And that's the message of Christmas.
Matthew 2, 1 to 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child,
And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
I just want to briefly say a few things about the wise men. In the book of Numbers, chapter 24, we read this about a prophet, the prophet Balaam, and he says these words: "A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel." And then the prophet in another book says this: "And Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to your brightness." The coming of the Magi was foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. There's much mystery when we think about these men. Nobody knows who they were. Some think they were philosophers. Some think they were astronomers. But we're not told in the scriptures who they were. We're not told where they came from. Some say that they were from Arabia because of the sort of gifts that they bought. Others say from Persia, modern day Iran, that sort of area. We know that they were from the east. And we're told in the scriptures they saw a star. And it says that it was his star. And they knew that that star indicated that a Jewish king had been born. We're not told what this star was. There's been many conjectures over the years. The Puritans felt it was a bit something like Halley's Comet. Others have said that it's a conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter. The ancient Chinese people at this time have recorded an unusual star that appeared in the sky at that time. A mystery. How did they know that that star pointed to a king of the Jews being born? Was it a direct revelation from God? How did they understand that? Often when we see the postcards, we can have a wrong conception of the situation, because we see the shepherds on one side, we see the wise men, the Magi, on the other side, and a little nice stable, Mary and Joseph there. But you know, it wasn't like that. When we read the scriptures, we read that these men, they came to a house, not to a stable where Jesus was. And they didn't come to a baby. We read in the Bible they came to a young child. Epiphany is often put at 12 days after Christmas. It was probably more like 50 weeks after Christmas. Maybe a year. You see, Jesus, he'd been born. On the eighth day, he'd been circumcised. He'd been presented in the temple. Anna and Simeon, they'd seen the Christ child. And Joseph and Mary had stayed in Bethlehem. And these wise men, they came hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles with a certainty, an absolute certainty, that a king had been born. We're not told that they followed that star from the east to Israel. It would appear that the star only appeared a second time after they'd been to Jerusalem. You see, they went to the place they thought that the king would be born. They went to the capital city, the religious center, the political center. I'm thinking that that was where this king had been born. They came to Herod's court. Herod was fearful, and all Jerusalem with him. He was concerned that a king might be born and take his place. And so he asked the chief priests and the scribes what the scriptures say. And they knew the scriptures. They knew the prophecy of Micah. And they were able to say that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And so Herod, he says to these wise men, you go there. And then come back and tell me exactly where he is, that I may go and worship him also. A deceitful man, insincere, cruel, wicked, only wanting the death of this newborn king. And then we read that these wise men, having left Herod's palace, they saw that star and they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The Bible says the star went before them. Must have been an unusual supernatural star. You say it says that the star actually indicated the place where Christ was. You can imagine the shepherds when they went, they were probably going from house to house trying to find where Jesus was, and then they discovered him in the manger. But the wise men, they were indicated exactly where Jesus was, the very house. God had used natural revelation, a star, but he'd also used scripture. Even unbelieving people quoting scripture, chief priests, scribes, who had religion, but only religion. And they come. And the Bible says that these grown men, wealthy, wise men, fell down before the infant child, prostrated themselves, and they worshipped him. Can you ever imagine falling down before a baby or a young child, a toddler, and offering worship, homage, adoration? Nobody in their right minds would do that freely. But you see, this one was different. And they brought with them gold and frankincense and myrrh, gold fit for a king. Frankincense that was always used in worship, indicating that he was one worthy of worship. Myrrh that was used generally to embalm bodies in. A prophetic act, for Jesus had come to die. They were wise men. Think of those four letters, W-I-S-E. Wise, W, because they worshipped. Will you? Will you worship? Have you ever worshipped? Have you ever glorified God? That's why you were made. You weren't made for yourself. You weren't made for your own pleasures. You weren't made that you would just live a merry little life and fizzle out. You are made for God, to worship him. Are you wise? They were wise because they ignored evil advice. You see, God came to them, spoke to them, and they were told not to go back to Herod. Herod had said, come, but they were prepared to ignore that evil advice. They went back home another way. You know, we need to be people who are wise. We need to follow good advice, right advice, true advice. But we need to shut out those who would talk down Christianity, those who would tear down the Christian faith. We're not to listen to evil advice. S. They were men who shared their wealth. Are you a giving person? What's Christmas for you? Is Christmas getting all that you can? Young people here, children here. Is Christmas just about presents, what you receive? Or is it about giving? Is it about sharing? But not only that, what about your whole life? The shepherds didn't have much, but they gave their hearts. The wise men had wealth and they gave of it. Have you given your life and your heart to God and to Jesus Christ? And if you have wealth, have you given of your wealth and your substance to God and his work and all the needy people in this world? E. They endured hardship, but they also exulted with great joy because they found peace. They were prepared to come so far to see this king. How much effort are you prepared to put in to find Christ? The Bible says if you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him. Are you prepared to endure hardship, the mocking, the disdain, the laughing? And if you are, you'll exult with great joy because you'll find a Saviour. There's tidings of great joy, peace towards men, goodwill towards men, peace. You'll find peace with God. No longer will you be an enemy of God. No longer will you be far off. No longer will you be distant from God, but you'll be a friend of his. You'll be forgiven. You'll find peace with him. And you'll exult with great joy. You've probably seen the caption many times, but it's true. Wise men sought Jesus. Wise men still do. Seek Jesus Christ today. We're going to close our carol service by singing O Little Town of Bethlehem. And there are some wonderful words in that hymn. It says, cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. Make that your prayer. Lord, cast out my sin, enter in and be born in me today. May Christmas time truly be Christ for you. May Christmas time truly be Jesus for you. May Christmas time truly be joy for you because you found the Saviour. Eternal and ever blessed God, we thank you for this Christmas time. We thank you that we have been able to think about the Saviour who stooped so low and came into this world and was born in that little animal trough in Bethlehem. Father, we thank you that he was willing to give up all that glory, all that bliss, all that perfection to live in the filth and the squalor of our world and to live amongst us, being the friend of sinners and to bear our sins all the way to the cross. Lord, we bless you and we thank you. We thank you that there is a solution for our sin. We thank you that there is a Redeemer, a Saviour. And we pray that every person in this place, Tabor Baptist Church, might worship and honour and glorify Jesus Christ. And may it not just be for Christmas. May it be for the whole of our lives. May there be no sentimentality. No, Lord, just wiping of a tear, but may there be reality. May we find the Lord Jesus. We pray, O Lord, for our generation in which we live, that it might turn back to you, the living God. Turn back to the Word of God and find, Lord, the solution for living. So, Father, we place into your hands our lives. Pray that you'll bless every family represented. Pray that every family would have a very happy Christmas, would find peace with Jesus Christ. And may the peace of Christ rest in each heart and remain with each one of us, now and forevermore. Amen.